pray if anyone needs healing today, that before they leave this service, God, that you will touch them with your presence, with your healing, because you are great and mighty. You're the one who's lifted up, Lord God. You went to the cross for our salvation, not only our salvation, but our blessing, our healing, Lord. You paid the price. And Lord, I just pray that as we go through the service, Lord, before we end the service, that Lord, you would release those blessings, release your healing power to those who need your touch today, God. Touch them, Lord. Encourage, strengthen everyone who needs you. Let's just sing this chorus one more time. Be lifted up. Hallelujah. Just worship him. Sing it to him.
Be lifted up as we bow down. Be lifted up. Be lifted up. Be lifted up as we bow down. Be lifted up.
Yes, God, be lifted up. Be lifted up. And Lord, I just believe that today you're going to increase people's faith, God. Because we worship a great and mighty God. Hallelujah. You know, I'm thinking of this phrase somebody once said. It doesn't matter if you believe that God is really, really great and really, really big. What matters is if you believe God is really, really great and really, really big for you. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. We are worshiping
yes.
a mighty God.
Yes.
And he's a God that we can have faith in
yes.
for the impossible. Yes. And God's just going to, I believe God's just going to stir and increase our faith today. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, worship team. Appreciate you guys. And you can be seated. And the children, pretty much preschool up till 12, you are welcome to go on downstairs with Mrs. Sazik. Mrs. Sazik, raise your hand. She is very busy with something. Mrs. Sazik. Mrs. Sazik, raise your hand. So kids, you can follow her. And I just want to say thank you, too. Not only is Jessica an awesome worship leader, but she's been carrying the weight, doing bills late at night last night, and just doing all the administrative work. Let's give Jessica a hand for that, just the hard work. And I just appreciate everybody who's pitching in and doing things. Ed was out here weeding one day, and I appreciate all of you who are... just doing these wonderful things. Well, would you turn, if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 126. It's right in the middle of the Bible. Psalm 126. Verse 1 says this. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Keep your Bibles open or your finger in the Bible or your marker there because we're going to come back to the psalm. You know, one of the things I told you, I warned you, you've got to get used to my corny jokes, okay? So... I had one of those nights last night where I guess Gene didn't know what happened, but all I know is like somebody was fighting me or something and I was pushing them off and I woke myself up doing some kind of violent jerk or something. And I'm like, oh, I hope I didn't do that to Gene or something. And she rolled on me and I pushed her off or something in my dream. I was fighting her. I don't even remember what it is. But you ever have one of those dreams where it's like you wake yourself up? You know, because you did something or you shouted. Well, one day Fred, he was sleeping, and in the middle of the night, in his dream, he saw an old friend, and he woke himself up shouting, "Hey!" to his friend. And he's like, "Whoa." And he turned around. His wife was still asleep, so he went back to sleep and thought nothing of it and thought only he had experienced this thing. So anyway, they're going to bed the next night and turn out the lights, and Fred's wife turns to Fred and says, "Fred, if you see anybody you know in your dreams tonight, could you just wave?" But you know, I kind of feel like I'm living in a dream. My name is Joseph, and I'm a dreamer. The Bible character Joseph, he had dreams. God gave him dreams. And that's the kind of person I am. You know, a few months ago, it was Memorial Weekend, that's what it was. My wife and I were up here, and we were camping on my land. I have a little piece of land up by Jeddo, and had it in our family for years and years, and so it was passed down to me. And so this spring, I decided I'm going to build a landing pad for my little, I got a 25-foot camper, and so I wanted to put a nice driveway there. We have this beautiful land, Hamudi. He got, what'd you get, a 9 point there last hunting season. He knows that land is beautiful. And so I had set up this driveway and found a guy. Things are a lot different here. Trying to find a driveway guy, and they're like, they kind of call back when they feel like it. But I found a guy right on Jeddo Road. I was going to my land, and he's working on a driveway. He said, "Hey, I need a driveway done. Can you help?" He says, "I'll be there in 2 hours." And so he brought a few loads of dirt and got the foundation there. And then for the next several weeks, I would come up here and do the rotation, Home Depot, Lowe's, and Menards, and see where I can get bags of rocks on sale. So if I had a paving base or a bag of rocks or whatever, I would go there and fill my half ton up with a ton of bags of rocks. And now I'm needing healing from sciatica because of this crazy endeavor. But so I set this thing up, and here we were finally. You know, I built the driveway, and we're pulling up, you know, with the camper, and we stop it. Is it level? It was level, and it didn't sink down into the mud. It worked. And so we set up camp and had a beautiful time. And at one point, we're just sitting in the camper, and it's, again, beautiful. You know, you hear the birds singing. It's so quiet there. And Jean turns to me, and she goes, "What does it feel like? So how does it feel having a dream fulfilled?" And I said, "Jean, I never could have dreamt this. I could have never dreamt this. I just love this so much." She said, "What are you talking about?" She's gotten that, you know, look on her face. "What are you talking about? You can never dream this." "Well, what?" She says, I read it somewhere. You always talked about it, that you're going to have a little place set up on this land here, and I read it somewhere." And then it hit me, oh my goodness, because many years ago, I wrote a vision statement, and basically, or a dream. It's, I don't know what you'd call it, but back then I did a study. For whatever reason, the Lord led me, it didn't really help me much, but the Lord led me to study millionaires. And I began to read books written by millionaires. I began to meet and talk. I had coffee with some millionaires and just asked them, you know, questions, and spent quite a bit of time with a very good friend of mine who's a millionaire. Keith Hafner's karate in Ann Arbor, where Jim Harbaugh takes his kids to do karate. He's a very successful guy. And so I had learned these principles, and the one thing Keith taught me is he says, write a statement. Write your life out. What's it going to look like in 5 years? What you want it to look like? As if you're looking back on the last 5 years, 5 years from now, and just write it, and start reading it to yourself. And even, he said, I do that, and I record it, and I listen to it over and over. And he's seen those dreams fulfilled. So I did that, and part of my dream was that I would one day have a little cabin on this piece of land of mine, and I'd walk along the tree line there. We have a farm that we rent out to a farmer, and walk along the crops there and just pray and seek the Lord. And it was happening. And it struck me, oh my goodness.
Yes.
This little piece of my dream is actually happening. And it caused, you know what happened? It caused me to dream again. It got me on dreaming again. And things started happening. You know, those days when I was, you know, bringing bags of rocks and driving my pickup down gravel roads up there in Lakeport and Jeddo, and I got to tell you, those were probably some of the might be the happiest times. Just the happiest times. And I got to tell you something. Happy was not a word very much in my vocabulary. Because as those of you who've heard me before know, 3 years ago, 3.5 years now, we lost our oldest son at age 22 to cancer. And he's, you know, my best friend, my partner in ministry. And when we lost him, and we know where he is, and I have stories to tell if you haven't heard them about, we have our own heaven is for real kind of stories. But, you know, happiness is just not something in my vocabulary very often since that time. But I have to tell, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because, you know, my childhood was here. I'd come up here summers, you know, with my parents at our cottage, and we'd have our land out there and picnics out there and had all kinds of gatherings, all our friends, and just the memories. Or it may be that the Lord, when I asked him about, God, I need to be healed. I'm really hurting from these things that have happened. I need to be healed. And the Lord told me, shut away with me. Shut away with me. That was the phrase in my spirit. And the sense was to get away and just be with God. And I think that's what it was. It was just me and my truck and God. And those days I would go and I'd, you know, until I got the pad ready, I would stay at the state park. And those nights I would be out there seeing the Milky Way over Lake Huron and just spend time with God. And it was happy. You need to be happy. Anybody need to be happy here? There, you know where? Hang out with God. Just spend time with Him. And so, what was crazier was that Memorial Day weekend, I got a text on Memorial Day, and it was from a friend of mine. He was a student in my Chi Alpha, which is a campus ministry group, a college group that I led at the University of Michigan. He was one of the students who had come to know the Lord, and he was a guy with pink hair and chains and piercings all over the place. He had this chain from his ear to his nose, and he'd come to church. I'll never forget one time he came to church, and one of our old-timers went and tugged on that chain, said, "What is this?" And I'm like, "Oh, no, Willie, come on. We're trying to reach people, you know." But Willie, he's a great guy. He's tugging on it. Like, "What is this? Is this for your girlfriend to drag you around with?" And Jason, good sport he was, he said, "No, this earring's the one she drags me with." And they laughed and they hugged. And he said, "I love you young people." He had this thick accent. But Jason ended up joining the Air Force. I mean, total opposite, crew cut, whole shot, joined the Air Force. One day I get an email from him. And he says, "Pastor Joe, pray for me. I'm meeting with the Prince of Kuwait right now. I'm with the Prince of Kuwait's family on their private island, and his mother's cooking dinner for us." What? But that's what happened in his life. The doors got open for him. So he texts me and he says, "What are you guys doing?" He had just moved to Dearborn. And I said, "Oh, we're up north. Sorry. I'd love to hang with you, but we're up north." And then I thought, "Wait a minute. Hey, we're only an hour away. You guys want to come up?" And I get a text back, and he says, "We'll be there in 2 hours. We're back in the car." And so they came up and joined us, and we had a great time together. And this is what's crazy about it, because also written in that thing that I wrote many years ago was not only that we would have a place up here, but that we would have leaders in God's kingdom coming and hanging out with us up in this place. I mean, literally fulfilling these things that the Lord had put on my heart and that I wrote down. Now, like I said, it made me realize that dreams apparently come true. Might take a long time, because you see, I wrote those things down many, many years ago. And there were other things in that dream, things about church. And I was pastoring in Ann Arbor at the time, and we had a successful church, and it was big and everything. But I talked about how we'd see 15 and 20 people accepting the Lord at the altars that morning, and testimonies that would be on our web channel and on the radio program. And I mean, I just wrote this whole thing about all the great things happening in our church that was much, much bigger than our church was at the time. Remember, I'm dreaming and I'm looking back as if I was living this dream. And I wrote all this stuff down, but the Lord called us out of that church. And I thought, what about this dream? And I traveled for a few years speaking and traveling, and then I got another church in Dearborn Heights. And so I rewrote the vision for that church, same thing, but kind of rewrote it for that church. And then, you know, lo and behold, I'm no longer lead pastor there. And I kind of felt like in the Bible, in Hebrews, it talks about those who received the promises and they didn't see them fulfilled. I forgot the exact scripture. But, you know, there were the Bible heroes that didn't see their dreams fulfilled, but they still believed. In fact, that's a very important verse. I'm really, really away from my notes, so I don't know what I'm doing. But here, Hebrews 11. I think, thank you. It says this. There are a bunch of these Bible heroes. They got promises, but they weren't fulfilled. And it says about them, Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So here are these Bible heroes who still had faith, even though they didn't see their promises fulfilled. They still lived like those promises were happening, and they believed them. And, you know, God would fulfill them in eternity in a way that, you know, I'm sure they couldn't imagine. They were fulfilled through their offspring and different things. But I kind of felt like these guys because I'm not seeing my promises fulfilled. But here, all of a sudden, I see a promise fulfilled. And so, let me get back to our text here, Psalm 126. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. And what's he talking about there? He's talking about Israel. Israel had promises. They had great promises. God, through the prophets, told them of amazing things that Israel would experience. For example, Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60 says this, "Lift up," he's speaking to Israel, "lift up your eyes around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. You shall see this and become radiant, and your heart will swell with joy because of the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles, the other nations, shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord." And it goes on and lists all these incredible promises. There was a promised Messiah was going to come and rule from Jerusalem, rule the whole earth. And these were the promises that the Israelites had. But then something happened. All those dreams were crushed because this kingdom rose up called Babylon. And Babylon started taking over all the kingdoms around. And many of the Israelites were living in sin, and they were not obeying the Lord. They were worshiping other gods. God was giving them these incredible promises, and they ran after other gods.
That's
And so the protection of God lifted off of them. Yes. And that allowed for Babylon to come in and conquer Israel and took them away, took the people of Israel out of Israel, took them into Babylon, spread them around their kingdom. They eventually burned down the temple, destroyed Jerusalem. What about the promises? God, what about the silver and gold and all the nations coming? Their dreams were shattered, absolutely destroyed. And Israel ceased to be a nation. But something happened. Something happened. 70 years later, another king arises named Cyrus. And he says, hey, you Israelites, go back, build your city and build your temple, and here's a whole bunch of gold to do it.
Glory.
Come on!
Okay.
There were still some people in those 70 years of darkness that believed in the promises. And they told their children, hey, it's coming. God said it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And here they were, Psalm 126, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Do you get that? They're like, are we living? Is this really happening? We're like those who dream. And it goes on, verse 2, it says, then our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Amen. Euphoria. I told Gene, I've been experiencing euphoria driving around and spending this time up here. And this is what the children of Israel were experiencing. We're like those who dream. Hallelujah. You know, another translation of that same verse says, when the Lord brought back, or when the Lord, when the Lord restored our fortunes, when the Lord restored our fortunes, we were like those who dreamed. That's another translation of the Hebrew there. And that really speaks to the story of Job. Remember Job?
Yes.
It's not Job. It looks like Job when you read it. But it's called Job. It's right before Psalms. And here was this great, wealthy, godly man with a great family and farms and everything, riches. And all of a sudden, everything was taken away. Satan comes and says, hey, that Job guy. Or God says to Satan, hey, look at this Job. Isn't he something? He loves me. And Satan says, yeah, because you give him all these blessings. Let's see how much he loves you when his blessings are all gone. And for whatever reason, we're not told why, but Satan's allowed to take these things from him and the blessings are gone. Job still stood firm. And he lost his family, he lost his riches, he lost everything. And Job got a little upset at that point. He still didn't stop trusting or believing God, but he was, God, can you just tell me why this is happening? I don't get it. And all his friends are saying, you must have sinned. What did you do to sin? You obviously sinned. And Job's like, I didn't sin. I mean, we all sin, but, you know, he's like, nothing to deserve this. But then God shows up, kind of straightens Job out about some things. Okay, let me just remind you something, Job. I'm God, you're not, okay? And Job's like, ooh, okay, yes, I worship you. And God restored all his fortunes. Bible, he was the richest man on earth, and everything was restored to him double.
Yes.
What was lost, double.
Double for your trouble.
It reminds me of another story, Joseph the dreamer. If you know the story of Joseph, he had dreams. God gave him dreams that one day he would rule his own family, would bow down to him, even his mother. And being a dumb 17-year-old kid, he runs up and tells his brothers, I had a dream, you're all going to worship me. Dumb. Some dreams keep to yourself, okay? Anyway, so he gets thrown, you know, his brothers sell him to a caravan. He ends up in Egypt. He rises up in Egypt, but ends up, he gets unjustly accused of trying to seduce his master's wife, and he's thrown into jail. What happened to the dreams? He's supposed, I mean, his family's supposed to bow to him, but he's in jail. But you know what? Joseph stayed faithful, and he did the rest of those verses. And let me close up with these verses. Verse 4 through 6 in the psalm. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. See, in the south of Israel, it was really dry. And sometimes it would rain, and those streams would fill up again. He's saying, do that for us. Those who sow in tears shall, say shall reap with or in joy. Hallelujah. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless, say doubtless, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. He's sowing his tears, sowing his seed with tears. Doubtless, he's going to get a harvest. He's going to bring it all in.
Yes.
Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Hallelujah. Joseph was in prison, but you know what? He must have cried quite a bit. But he sowed his tears. He stayed faithful, and he sowed seed. He was still Joseph. He did whatever he could, and he rose up to become the leader in the jail. The head jailer is like, this guy is incredible. And promoted him to be the head jailer. Joseph not only had dreams, but he could interpret dreams. Yeah. And one day, a couple of the prisoners had some dreams. He interpreted to them, and they were fulfilled. One was released from prison, and one was killed. Well, the guy released from prison one day, Pharaoh is saying, I'm having this dream, you know, the king of Egypt, and I don't know what this means. And this guy who was released from prison that Joseph interpreted his dream for, said, wait, I know a guy who interprets dreams. He's the head guy in the prison. He's the head prisoner who's in the prison. And Pharaoh calls him up, and in one day, see, Joseph was not destined to be the head of a prison. Joseph was destined to be a prince.
Yes.
That was his destiny. And in a day, he becomes the prince of Egypt. Come on. And what happened? His brothers came and bowed before him.
Yes.
Even his mother and father. And he ended up saving the world because God gave him an interpretation of a dream that helped him in a time of famine. What am I saying to you? We are all going to have those Job moments. We're all going to have those Joseph moments. We're going to go through those times where did our dreams go? What you promised this to me, God? You put something in my heart, God, and what happened to it? We go through those times. But you know what you got to do? You got to keep sowing. Sow yes. in tears. I'll tell you, I cried a lot in the last 3.5 years. I cried a lot, but I was faithful to what God told me to do. I would go to the house of prayer in Dearborn that I was in charge of. And there's these big glass windows. Hamoudi was there. He helped build that thing practically. And there's windows there. And when my son was part of our internship program, I would be there setting up for the night of prayer. And we did it 4 nights a week. And I'd be setting up, and I'd see my son and the other boys coming down the street because they lived in a house 2 blocks down. But I could see them coming up the street. And I'd be so happy those moments where they'd be coming up and, you know, and then we'd spend the night in prayer and worshiping. My son was an incredible musician, and we'd just have the greatest times. But I'll tell you, after he had passed, I went there because God told me. And I went in there, and I'd set up things long before anybody else would come, and I'd look through that window, and I'd remember the time Joey would be coming, and I'd cry, and I wept. But I'll tell you what, I wept. And I sowed those tears.
That's right. Yes. Hallelujah.
Folks, you got to sow your tears. Don't just cry. Sow them. What do I mean by that? I said every time I cry, I said, God, I know you got something for me. I know that, Lord, I lost something really precious, but you've got something for me. I believe it. I know it. I'm being faithful. I'm doing what you called me to do. And I sowed my tears. And night after night, I would weep and I'd think about my son. I'd sow those tears. You know, the Bible says that God collects our tears in a bottle.
Glory.
He collects them in a bottle.
He does.
Because one day, he's going to pour out blessings on us if we have sowed those tears. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. And today, folks, I stand before you. I thought I'd lost my vision for ministry. I thought I lost my heart for ministry. I have never been so excited in my life.
Thank you, Lord.
God has... I came here speaking as a guest speaker, and I thought, oh, no, God, you're setting something up here. You're setting something up. And when I came in here and met you all and experienced the worship here, and I said, oh, and this is my, I love this place. I love this place. And I kept saying, no, I got to Detroit, Dearborn. That's what I'm supposed to do. And then God just, he's trying to tell me, no, you know, I got something new for you. Because I heard you praying, Joe. I heard you saying you wanted something. You needed something. You needed to know that I'm still a good father. Well, I'm going to show you I'm a good father.
Yes.
And when I think
Lord.
That, you know, Lord, that house, once our house sells, that I'll be in a house on a canal, which has been my dream all my life, that I'm here in the city that I love, that I love this church, right across the street from a college campus. I've been always reaching out to young people and students, and here we are literally across the street from a college campus, and I'm thinking, God, you're so good.
Yes.
You're so good. And that you guys even liked me. I was like, God, I was like, God, you're so good. You're so good. And I'm living a dream. It's a lot of hard work ahead. Hey, I'm not... You know, I know we got a lot of work to do. But I just know God has made it clear to me. If everything, every blessing stopped at this point, so much has happened that I just know our God is a good, good Father. And folks, don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up. You're going to have setbacks. You're going to have trials and troubles. But I'll tell you what. Stay faithful, sow those tears, and you will reap with joy.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Worship team, could you guys come on up? And could we sing that song about faith?
Let faith arise.
Let faith arise. Yeah, because I really feel like God wants to increase our faith. You know, some of you, you were faithful. You held out. You were like, this church, is it going to make it? But you hung on.
Yeah.
He sowed in tears. And I just got to believe God is ready to allow you to reap in and bring in the sheaves. Phyllis, maybe you can find that old hymn. I love those hymns. Bringing in the sheaves. Yeah, bring in the sheaves. And I just, as we close today, and I know I went a little long, but as we close today, I want you to just close your eyes right now and bow your heads. And I want you to think about some dreams that have been in your heart. You know, God, more likely than not, has given you those dreams. God has put something in you. What is that dream? Maybe you've seen some dreams shattered. Maybe that specific dream seems like it's never going to happen again. By the way, that dream of 15 to 20 people in the front of the altars, guess what? I guess it's for this church now.
Yeah.
All the great things I dreamt about my other two churches, and I saw great things there, but maybe it's this church's turn. I think so. What are the dreams? What are your dreams? I want you to say right now, God, I believe you. You're a good father. And Lord, you have stored up my tears. You have not forgotten a single tear I've cried. And you have something for me. So Lord, I give you back my dreams. And Lord, fulfill them how you want to fulfill them. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing that, guys, and then I'm going to wrap up. Can we stand, please?
Mister.